It's Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes, brought to you by L.A. Classic Roofing, Schwing Insurance Agency, The Quarter Tavern, Hype Minville Grubs and Dalbor, Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, Additive Solutions, Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation, Arsenal Ford, Blazon Specialties, Riddick LLC, and Action Specialties. Now, here's Coach Indes.
Adding KK's Cafe and United Fire and Safety, along with Griddick Electric and Electrical and General Services to that list. And a wonderful Monday morning to you. Man, rough weather last week. Looks like we're going to have some beautiful weather, at least getting maybe through Thursday. Jeff will let us know a little bit more about that later, what the weather looks like. But it's hard not to be in a great mood right now, relative to the weather and just everything, man. Spring has sprung. Speaking of, Live Like Liam Golf Tournament. Let's talk about it for a minute. July the 10th at Cane Row Country Club, we will be doing a, it's hard to call it a fundraiser tournament. It's for the Live Like Liam Foundation. Situation for those of you that out there that don't know, the young man by the name of Liam McDuff, who was tragically killed. It's I hate to use the word murdered, but he was tragically murdered earlier, actually around Christmas time, and the family, Jim and Alice McDuff, have. They want to turn this into a positive, and they have started a foundation, the Live Like Liam Foundation, in which they raise money to for local schools, whether it's for their sports programs, for their music programs, just anything like that. We'll be having a huge golf tournament, a huge fundraiser for the Live Like Liam Foundation on July the 10th at Cane Row. If you'd like to get involved with that, please get in touch with me. You can do that via email. BrentIndes@Cox.net. If you have my number, give me a call, and I'll let you know how you can get involved with that. But we're really excited about that. Of course, we're not excited about what happened, but we're excited that we're – life's all about turning negatives into positives, and it couldn't be more of a negative that we're trying to make a positive thing. Speaking of a positive thing, so – and turning negatives into positives, and I know this young man doesn't mind that I throw this out there before I bring him on. So, great friend of mine, Tank Lotief, due to whatever reason, loses his position at Kaplan High School as the athletic director and head football coach. But things work out great for him. He moves on to Brobridge, and we'll have Tank on sometime soon to talk to him about his prospects at Brobridge High. Well, of course, that leaves the Kaplan job open. And the young man that we have on right now, Corey Brody, is a graduate, I believe a 2010 graduate, if I'm correct, of Catholic High School. Has most recently been the defensive coordinator at Vermilion Catholic High School and has been recently named the head football coach at Kaplan High School. Corey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good morning.
All right, so kind of, you know, set everything up for everybody. What's going on with you? So, Corey, you're 29 years old, right?
Yes, sir, 29.
Yep.
30 this summer.
Okay, so you and I got my first head coaching job at 29. For those of you out there that don't know it, most of you probably do know, Corey is my sister Maria's son, Craig Brody, my former defensive coordinator at Catholic High, also was a former head coach at Catholic High, head coach at Westgate. That's his dad. So, Corey, I know you got to be super excited right now.
Oh, I'm super excited. Not a lot of sleep these past couple days, but, you know, just kind of thinking about everything that's going on. But it's been a great weekend. Some of the best parts about it is just getting in touch with people and people calling and texting and wishing me luck. And some people, you know, I talk to every day. Some people I hadn't talked to in years. But just the overall support and excitement for me and my family has been a real highlight of the weekend.
You do know the best thing about your situation right now? It's that you're undefeated.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody
loves somebody who hasn't lost yet.
Hey, man, you're undefeated, so I always say go in there. If you're going to ask for the moon, ask for it now while you're undefeated.
That's right.
So, Corey, a lot of these questions, of course, I know the answers to, but our folks out there, our listeners of Bayou Sports, they don't necessarily know these answers. So go ahead and explain to us. Let's start with what side of the football do you feel like you specialize with, moving into the Kaplan situation?
I've been a defensive coordinator for the past 5 years. That side of the ball, I'm going to feel very, very comfortable with, kind of distributing duties and talking to my guys and the guys on staff about what to do. But as you know, as a coach, the beauty of coaching defense is I watch, offensive film. I've seen what people do. I actually was on the offensive side a little while at UL as a student assistant. So the more defense you coach, the more offensive film you watch, and it kind of all correlates together.
Yes, yes. So I think we lost Corey. We're going to go ahead and start that back in my why don't you go ahead and try to get him back while we get Corey back, and he may be calling right now. Oh, no, we're calling him.
That's right.
Just give us a second. We're going to get Corey right back on the phone. Corey was a part of the state semifinal team that just an unbelievable win against Redemptorist in the state quarterfinals. We got him back?
Hey. I'm back. Sorry about that.
All right.
No, but like I was saying, being a defensive guy, I've watched a lot of offensive film, know a lot of different schemes and that type of stuff. And, I got very high recommendations from some of the offensive coaches at Kaplan. So I'm excited to work with them and kind of pick their brain on what they want to do with the talent we have.
Yeah, so you got Jared Duyon over there, who is – one of my former offensive tackles on one of the better teams I ever had at Abbeville High School in the early 2000s. And I know Jared was a very loyal person to Coach Lotief. And I know that moving forward, he's going to be excited and be loyal to you. And as you move on with the things that you want to do, have you talked to Jared yet?
I've talked to Jared. We had a really good conversation. He loves the school. He loves Kaplan High School. I've talked to other people, and like I said, it makes me feel a lot better that pretty much everybody's had the same things to say about him. As far as he's loyal, one of the better offensive line coaches in the area, and I believe the state. So we have a staff meeting today at 3:00, and he's going to be one of those guys that I kind of lean on for player evaluation and things going into the summer. So I'm excited that he stayed on board and that we're going to have him around in the future.
And look, he's always quick with a good joke too. To let you know, so you get a little inside information on Jared. Of course, his nickname is Pork. Okay, so most people don't know how he got that nickname. Well, many moons ago in the late 80s, early 90s, Abbeville had a young man, skinny little guy, who was the consummate football manager, baseball, when they were younger. And this kid was a football manager, baseball manager, and his name was Pork Chop. Everybody called him Pork Chop. Okay, well, Pork Chop moved on, and Jared kind of took his place as a baseball manager. So being that they had Pork Chop, who was a skinny little kid, they called Jared Pork Roast. And not many people even know his name's Jared anymore. He is Pork. I mean, they drop the roast off the end, and he is just known by everyone in Vermilion Parish as Pork. So,
When I was looking him up, I have him on my we're both basketball coaches last year. So, in my contacts, I have him as Pork Kaplan.
Yep, and the fact that he's coaching basketball means that Kaplan was in desperate need of a basketball coach. When you've got a former 6'3", 320-pound offensive lineman that's coaching basketball, there's definitely some wants and needs for your basketball program. I love you, Pork, but but I got to throw that out there.
Well, when we played him, it was definitely entertaining on both sides of the fence. So I think we put on a good show.
So Corey, talk a little bit about your background as a head coach, which is a little atypical of this situation. You've been a head coach, but it hasn't been in football.
Yeah, so I started my first head coaching job. Well, I guess if you want to say my first head coaching job was at St. Genevieve in sixth grade football. Mm-hmm. So, you know, technically, I guess that was my first football job. But, no, on the high school level, I coached girls basketball at Central Catholic, which was definitely a learning experience. And then at Vermillion Catholic, the last 2 years, I've been a head boys basketball coach. But, you know, one of the things that has helped me along the way is just the management of people, the management of parents, you know, the management of just getting everything ready for game day. And, you know, a lot of people from the outside just kind of look at head coaching as the X's and O's and what goes on between, you know, between the time on the clock. But I think with my experience and, you know, doing the basketball deal at Vermillion Catholic and helping out with other multiple sports is, you know, going to help me, like I said, just kind of the Saturday through Thursday aspect of it. So I feel like I'm ready for the challenge. And like I said, Friday nights are supposed to be, you know, it gets intense, but it's supposed to be fun. And, you know, I think I'm ready for the preparation of what's leading up to it.
Moving forward, have you met with players yet at Kaplan?
I've not met with the players yet. I wanted to meet with my staff first. Like I said, I got the news. I interviewed on Thursday. I got hired on Friday, and we got a staff meeting today. So it's all kind of going fast. I wanted to meet with those guys first, kind of see what they had to say before I go meet with the players, and you know, see who's on the team, see who would like to join the team, and just kind of create some excitement around campus, and hopefully we can anybody that you know wants to wear that K on Friday will be able to come out and in some way be able to contribute, you know, on the team Friday, whether it's manager, you know, film guy, you know, left tackle, whatever it may be. But, you know, just kind of get that excitement around campus, and hopefully I can get as many people involved in different roles as possible.
Absolutely. So, defensively, that's kind of been your bag. Mm-hmm. What everybody has somebody who helped mold them, kind of pointed them in direction. Maybe discuss some of the people that have molded you and your defensive philosophy, because I know you guys at Vermillion Catholic, everybody wants to talk at VC about how many points y'all scored over the last several years, but especially having seen it up close and personal from the Catholic High standpoint, you guys play great defense. So where does your philosophy come from? Who are the guys that influence you the most?
The toughness, the setting the edge on defense, the stuff of that nature kind of came from Tommy Mitten. You know, just a hard-nosed guy. I know I run a little bit different defense than I did over there, but, you know, just kind of philosophy of how to fly around on defense and who to put in what positions, a lot of that came from him. And then when I got here, you know, first time I stepped in the field house at Vermillion Catholic, I sat down with Kevin Fuqua, who's, man, he has more knowledge forgotten than I know at this point. And we sat down for 4 hours, and I don't think he ever took a breath, and just kind of, you know, taught me different things, taught me different philosophies, taught me different ways to kind of attack the offense. And I was really appreciative of that, because most people think the innovative guys are on the offensive side. You know, a lot of people on defense just kind of line up what they're in and want to play. But we got very, like you said, as you know, we got very creative at Vermillion Catholic on defense. So it kind of just allowed me to think outside the box and, you know, just try to be as innovative, if not more innovative than the guy I was playing across the ball. But those two guys have really helped me in a tremendous way. You know, I enjoyed watching, you know, the Catholic High teams the 5 years you were there. I really fell in love with the 3-3 stack. You know, Coach Mitten brought me to Tennessee, and I sat with a guy up there that's won a couple state championships. And, you know, he had four different clinics, and I went to all of them. So just kind of bits and pieces. You know, it's one thing this profession's taught me. If you can take one thing from any situation you're in and just kind of piece that all together, it's always a positive. So those are kind of the people that I've picked brains of that have really helped me along the way.
Well, of course, it's even become tougher as a defensive coach, and it's made you have to become more innovative because offenses are basically cheating now with the whole RPO. You've got offensive linemen moving up the field. And quarterbacks are pulling it and throwing it.
You know, I look up, we played Riverside in the playoffs, and, you know, it's 4th and 7, and, you know, they did a little RPO, and their offensive guard was out there, you know, shaking hands and dapping up our free safety. So it's hard for those refs to see everything. But like I said, those offensive guys are getting innovative, so you just got to do what you can to keep up and, you know, hopefully hold people to less points than you can score.
Yeah, you've come around in a time that there was a time in the 90s and the early 2000s that you could be a straight up, whether it's a cover 3 or a cover 4 team, a man team, and just get away with it. But you can't do that anymore. You have to mix things up. You cannot let the offense know what you're doing on a given down, or it's just going to be the death of you.
Exactly.
Now, moving forward in Kaplan, what are your plans? I know you live in New Iberia now. You've been commuting to Abbeville. What are your plans relative to – are you going to move closer to the Kaplan community? Are you going to try to move in the community? What's going to go on there?
Yeah, I'm going to – obviously, I'm going to start, you know, house hunting and see, you know, what I can find. But just like I told Ms. Patricia, our principal, you know, I think it's vital that I'm within the community. I don't want to be 40, 50 minutes away where – you know, if something happens or I just need to be around, you know, it takes that time for me to get there. Right now I'm making about a 25, 30 minute commute, but, to Vermilion Catholic, but I'm trying to get in there where, you know, I think, as you know, being a young head football coach, it's definitely not a 7 to 5 or 8 to 6 job. You know, it's a 24 hour, you know, 365 day commitment. So the closer I can be, the more people I can know, to be successful within the community. I think a large percentage of that is living close, knowing the people, you know, going to the same grocery stores, kind of getting to know, you know, who I'm going to be working with and trying to help these kids as much as possible.
Be careful. There's a gas station right there a little further down from Kaplan High on the left that they've got the best fried food. I'm pretty sure they fry everything in hog lard, man. And it's whether it's catfish or shrimp or chicken tenders, man. I'm telling you. Every Saturday morning, I used to go hammer that place. Now, Corey, I need to warn you big time because, you know, I spent 2 years in Kaplan, and I believe it was after Louisiana Tech. So it was 2008-2009. And there were folks there that hate – because I think they just knew from the get-go that I wouldn't be there long. I was kind of bridging a gap. I had let the principal know, Laurel LaBeouf at the time, that, hey, I'll come and try to – get these things straight here. Yeah, you know, they hadn't been winning, which we did. And out of the words of the great Joey Bork, who I assume still works at the Ford place, at the Ford dealership in Kaplan, he said, "Coach, move to Kaplan. Once you do, you'll never leave." So I'm warning you, Corey. I'm warning you that once you move in, it's God's country over there, man. I'm telling you, that is a community that is proud of their little community. They those folks from Kaplan love some Kaplan now.
That's good to hear. They might have a lifer over there.
Oh no, I told them many times. I said the only issue I have with Kaplan High is the fact that it's just too far from New Iberia, because I decided at that point that that's where I was going to raise Jessica, and we were moving back here, and that was that. And of course, we've been here ever since. But no, Kaplan is a wonderful, wonderful place. You know, and good duck hunting right there to the west, and Gaydon, and you know, you got the metropolis of Abbeville right down the road as well, that you know, you know, and then you got Lafayette right there. Mo and Maurice.
I went duck hunting with Coach Brock Prejean, and you know, he kind of gave me a hard time. I think I'm gonna have to fix my aim a little bit before I go out there with the hard.
And if I recall, the Prejeans, don't they have a spot in Pecan Island as well?
Yeah, they do.
I've been there.
I've been out there a couple times. We caught Brock's a big crabber, so it's been beneficial. You know, I ride around, he catches the crabs and cooks them, so it's a healthy relationship.
Well, Corey, we're going to be looking very close at what's going on over at Kaplan. We wish you all the best right here at Bayou Sports, especially a New Iberia native. We love to see everybody that's a native of New Iberia, Iberia Parish, move on and do well. So we wish you all the best and hope to have you back soon. So good luck meeting with the kids. Good luck with everybody at Kaplan. And you know we're behind you 100%.
Thank you. Y'all doing a great job on the show. I'm a steady listener, so I plan on keeping up with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, as your uncle, you had to say that. So if you didn't say that, we were going to have some
trying to give you a little publicity.
Well, you know, good job. Good job stepping up there, pal.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Corey, good luck, buddy.
All right, thank you.
All right. Exciting times, I tell you. I was 29 when I was named in July of 96 when I was named head coach of Abbeville. And just like Corey, it was, you know, you're getting into a situation where it's, even though I was at Abbeville already, you just don't know. You don't know how you're going to react is that head football guy, and when you're dealing with all those different things. But what an exciting time. And I have the one thing about the young man that I just spoke with. Everybody needs something that drives them. And some people have different things that drive them. But most great head coaches, I don't care what sport it's in, the despisement of losing is what drives you. And it's almost a cruel part of the whole mind game and the mindset of a coach is that the wins don't ever outweigh the losses. They never do. I remember losses way more than I remember wins. And so one thing I know about that young man I just talked to, he hates to lose. I've told this to many parents when they talk about their kids. Oh, my youngster, he's a sore loser, this and that. And don't get me wrong, there is a fine line. But you'd way rather your kid be a sore loser than a kid that's indifferent whether they win or lose.
And you know what you didn't let our listeners know? Is Corey married or not?
No, Corey is a bachelor.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
To all the young ladies out in Kaplan.
There you go.
If you want to keep him there.
That's it. You know, I tell you.
Like I can remember when Corey played Catholic High, calling a few of the games. He played, I want to say he was tight end, linebacker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, played both.
Yeah.
Now, they were pretty much a spread team, so a lot of times he was split out.
Yeah, with Bullock.
Corey was a big part of what they did on offense. I know they had great receivers at that time.
Yeah, Devin Booty. Yeah, Devin Booty. Yeah.
Devin being one of them. And,
or Boutte.
There were times that Corey would literally just change the formation. Devin, you get over here and you get over there just to make sure that the right guy was getting the ball at the right time.
Yeah, that's when we had the brother-in-law game.
Yeah. Well, correct. Well, if you brought it up, I didn't. We did beat the snot out of him.
I'm not going
And I
there.
Was at Kaplan at the time.
That's right. I remember that game.
But with that being said, I do have to throw out to Corey and his father. One of the bigger victories in the history of Catholic High, and also the most entertaining, and I was actually there for that game, was as I alluded to earlier, it was the 2009 season, I believe. It was the quarterfinal game against Redemptorist,
yes,
who had Lyle Collins – and also the runner that ended up playing. So two future NFL players. And gosh doggone, I'm going to think of it in a second. The running back who.
Yeah.
Great player at LSU.
Stopped him on a fourth and one or two or whatever.
And it might have been the only play all night that they stopped him.
Yeah.
But onside kicks by the Quinlan kid and just many things happened. Catholic High was down 14 for the balance of the game. Jeremy Hill.
That's it.
Got it.
That's it. Light bulb.
So they held out Jeremy Hill in that game. I'm talking to the head coach. I guess I should feel bad about this, but I don't. the head coach of Redemptorist was kind of a friend of mine, and he didn't know that Brody was my brother-in-law. So before game, I walked over and I'm talking to him, and I'm like, "Hey, how's Hill doing?" "Oh, coach, he's got a tweaked up ankle. We're only going to play him if we need him." So I took that information straight over. I don't know if that helped or not, but they held out Jeremy Hill in the first quarter, and then realized that they were in a dogfight, and came right back and got ahead. But and Hill ended up rushing for like 230 yards in three quarters. But Catholic High got it done when they needed to get it done. Had a huge onside kick mid fourth quarter or something like that that really turned the tables. Lyell Collins actually busted his ankle on the long jump runway, which I immediately fixed when I got to Catholic High. It was the worst hazard. And I always said it could be a hazard for our team or their team. They had a lip on that thing. For years, the grounds crew, whomever was doing it, they had Roundup instead of weed eated along that long jump runway. And there was a big little dip right there. And Collins just flew into it, hit his ankle, almost ran into me when he did it. And he went out right there. And that was a big point, too. And thank God it wasn't a major injury. But yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday. So congratulations, Corey, from my mother, Joyce, all the way down to Rachel and Craig Mitchell, your
brother. Grandson.
Yep. That's her grandson right there. So, from mom and daddy, Craig and Maria to Mick, from Mickey, grandma, you know, you got mama and you got grandma, you got that Yankee side in the Brody family. So, just giving everybody a shout-out and wishing you the best. We will be right back. Went a little overtime talking to Corey, but we'll come back and talk a little Heritage Classic, a little golf that happened over the weekend, talk a little Trevor Lawrence, and come back and talk a little LSU spring football right here. Ask Alexa, play 1240. Alexa, play Kane 1240, 107.5 FM. We'll be right back.
Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation has been keeping Acadiana strong and healthy since 2003. We have the highest level of trained and licensed physical therapists who will customize a treatment plan to get you results. Plus, the area's only indoor heated therapy pool and Class 4 laser device. And we provide optimum care with both state-of-the-art equipment and drug-free techniques like dry needling and blood flow restriction therapy. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia. Visit isrehab.com.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
United Fire and Safety is a locally owned oil field service company with over 20 years of experience in offshore safety, construction, and cleaning. UFS employs reliable, well-trained personnel. They're currently in need of qualified welders, fitters, superintendents, blasters, painters, and fire watch personnel. They offer competitive pay and benefits, including health insurance. For more information, call 337-376-6814. United Fire and Safety, taking pride in servicing the Gulf of Mexico.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
We're making it easy at Arsenault Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock.
Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenault Ford.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577 4858.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies, such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
All right. After talking a little Kaplan football, Kaplan Pirate football with Corey Brody, 2010 graduate of Catholic High School, we're going to shift gears, talk a little golf. So much fun this weekend to watch Stewart Cink. 47 years old, like you just said. Hadn't won a golf tournament in a dozen years.
That's right.
Comes out, shoots 63-63. And he's got a six-shot lead going into Saturday. And you can't keep up that pace. At least it's proven in golf. Of course, it's not a deductive thought that you can't go 463s in a row, but it just doesn't happen. It's almost like that, you know, that basketball player scoring 63 points, at, you know, back to back to back. It's just kind of unheard of. Well, but in professional golf, when you're leading the field after 2 days by six shots, you're in a zone like no one else. Because it's not like boxing. It's not like any other game where it's either team on team or person on person. It's you against the field. You against the field. So you against 60 other golfers, 70 other golfers. You know, at the start, it's more than that before the cut. So he's beating the field by that many shots. But comes back on a difficult golf course because the thing about Hilton Head, it's the
The wind doesn't play the...
No, the wind definitely plays, but it's a tight golf course.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, guys are knocking it in trees all over the place. Almost every drive, accuracy is a premium, which is hard to go low on courses like that. But comes shoots 2-under on Saturday to keep everybody at bay. Had Morikawa down 5-6 going into Sunday, and then just shoots a smooth 1-under yesterday. But what beats everything to me, he's got his son on his back.
Yeah, that's right.
When you're doing that at 47 years old, and you got your kid caddying for you, I go back, and of course you can't equate these two, but the 86 Masters,
yeah,
when Jack Nicklaus had his son on the back.
That's right. That's correct.
And he tells him on, I believe it was 15 or 13, how far do you think a three would go right here? And the kid thinks he's talking about a three on. He's like, no, I'm talking about making an eagle on this bad boy. Just those little stories.
That's right.
Going back between father and son.
Do you think he paid him 10%?
You know what? I bet he paid him more than 10%.
He might have.
And I tell you, they had him mic'd up. And this was not just, hey, I'm going to let my kid carry my bag. No, this guy, his son, was a professional caddy.
Okay.
He knew what the heck he was doing. Oh, no. They were talking wind. They were talking yardage. Cink was definitely listening to his son. Now, although Cink, I don't know if there's a more likable guy on tour. He does have something infamous in his career that golf purists like myself have a difficult time dealing with. So when Tom Watson was 59 years old in the British Open, and all he's got to do is par 18, knock an 8-iron up there, 2-putt, and he wins. And this is the thing that, again, I get so upset when I think about it right now. He's so juiced up, he takes out an 8-iron, which he feels is a club he cannot knock over the green. He feels like this is really a 7-iron. But I'm going to hit an 8-iron to make sure I can't knock this over the green to a back pin. But he's so juiced up that he pures the shot dead at the flag, and it goes over the green. The 59-year-old nerves caught up. Doesn't hit a very good chip. Hits a horrible putt. Ends up going into a playoff and just gets drummed by Stuart Cink.
Yep, that's right. I remember that.
So I wasn't a big Cink fan for a while. But, again, it wasn't that Cink beat Watson. Watson beat himself on that last hole. But as Teddy and I discussed in a previous show, I don't think it could have been arguable that that would have been the greatest feat in the history of sport if Tom Watson wins that golf tournament.
59.
Now, again, I get it. There are some people out there that they want to refute that golf is a legitimate sport. Look, I'm not gonna sit there and argue with you. Anybody that's played golf understands not only what a great sport it is, but what a unique sport it is. It's one of the few sports that you can actually go out there and play by yourself and still compete. You can't compete in much other stuff by yourself.
Yeah, you're playing against the course.
Yeah, it's you against the course, you against yourself. As a youngster, it was always beat your best round. Just like in track, you're trying to PR, a PB, personal best, personal record. You know, I can remember the first time, one of the first times I remember at Iberia, and I shot, that I broke 50, shot 49. And, man, it was just, I was probably about 8-9 years old.
And that was in 9 holes.
Oh, absolutely. And then it was, I even had the card memorized in my head, so I knew where I was relative to that round. I went 6-4, 6-3, 6-6, 6-3, 6, something like that. Okay, just remembering that scorecard.
You didn't par anything?
Yeah, par number 4.
Oh, okay.
6-4, 6-3, 6-6, 6-3, 6. I parred 4 and 8, which are the two of the most difficult.
Yeah, they're three. Yeah, you're right.
Difficult. You know, for especially you got a long iron, you know, going into them, especially for an 8-9 year old.
Yeah, 180 yards on 8, and what was it, about 160 on?
Yep.
On 4.
Yep. A little shorter, okay. Right there behind Cat Dugas' house.
Yep.
So, Stuart Cink, congratulations! It's fun to watch. Very disappointed in Morikawa. He just really fell apart on Sunday. I thought he was going to make a push. It is a golf fan, you always want to see a close ending unless you're just really rooting for a guy. And I kind of was rooting pretty hard. You got to root for the 47-year-old. So I was rooting pretty hard. But I still wanted to see Morikawa make a push, especially because he was looking at him. He's the guy in that last group looking at him, but ends up shooting 2 over, which shows you it was a tough golf course. But just didn't get it done on Sunday. Sometimes it feels like he loses his putter. His putter just fails him. A little shorter segment. Go ahead. You had something?
Cink, by winning that tournament, he qualified for Augusta next year. Of course, I think he finished in the top group in Augusta. He played pretty well in Augusta.
I believe he did. Right.
But he qualifies for the U.S. Open now, too.
Absolutely.
So that's next month.
Yeah. And as we all know, guys are more healthy now than they were. A 47-year-old is much different than a 47-year-old 15, 20 years ago.
Oh, I feel my oats now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of truth to that.
Exactly.
Different world.
Yeah. So, Stuart Cink may still have some great golf in front of him. You still got Phil Mickelson at 50-plus. He still thinks he can win, and I think he can on the regular tour. I get it. Jack Nicklaus, when he went to the senior tour, won a couple of tournaments, and then he's like, man, I've been beating these guys all my life. What you know.
Hill Irwin was the king of the senior
tour. Yeah, absolutely. Though. Oh, he drummed it. Before we go to the break, I've alluded to this guy a couple of times. I'm going to talk about him again. He's the newer version of Tim Tebow. And I'm not talking about as a player, but Trevor Lawrence is a human being. Now, Trevor Lawrence is not quite as preachy as Tim Tebow. Okay, Tim Tebow expresses his faith readily, which he's ostracized for it, which I don't get. Okay, you can have all kind of other feelings and beliefs that it seems that's so much of our culture gets behind. But when a guy wants to kneel to pray after he scores a touchdown, he gets slammed for it. But Trevor Lawrence is a different cat. In a lot of his interviews, you know, people want their quarterbacks to be like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. They want their quarterbacks not to have a life. I'll say this. I got to know Peyton Manning a little bit at Manning camp. I definitely got to know the people that knew him. Didn't have a life outside of football. Okay, now even outside of football, everything he does is related to football. And you know what? I am not speaking ill of that. I believe in different strokes for different folks. If that's the way you want to be, be. Well, you know, Trevor Lawrence, when people are talking to him about being like that, and he's like, oh, I got other interests outside of football. Football will not define me. Speaks of his faith, speaks of his new bride.
That's true. Got married.
Yeah, right. Just got married. Actually, gave $20,000 to local charities because of, and if you didn't listen earlier last week, these folks that got together and raised money on a GoFundMe to give them a wedding gift, and they ended up raising way too much money. So he felt a little guilty about that, so they threw a bunch of money at some of those local charities. But I like this guy. I like the fact that he's willing to march to a different beat. Of course, if he gets out in the NFL and he is not as successful as they expect a number one pick to be, they'll kill him for it. They'll tell him that he's not interested enough. They'll tell him that he doesn't work hard enough. They'll question all of these quotes. They will come back to haunt him. But you know what? I see this guy as a guy that is comfortable in his own skin. And I like that, man. Just like if a guy comes out and says, I'm not going to get married, I'm not going to do anything, I'm going to be balls to the wall football, and that's all I'm going to do. You know what? Great for that guy, too. Be who you are, man.
They've had a few of them like that.
Who said, just keep living? Just keep living. The great Matthew McConaughey.
Yep.
All right, all right, all right.
Oh, yeah.
So as we digress with my pretty average Matthew McConaughey impression, we're going to move on. We got a lot to talk about in our third segment. We got LSU spring football.
Yep, it's here.
All four quarterbacks, a lot of reps. Always hard to decipher what goes on because you're playing yourself. But I read a lot about the scrimmage, looking at the stats, and so I think there's a lot of things to talk about coming back in the next segment, and we'll also talk about a little baseball, a few different things, and we're here. It's the top 10, baby.
That's right, Deese.
Yep, we're on Deese. Again, I get to some of these guys, and there's not near the information that I would expect, but it's some of the earlier guys. It's guys that go back into the – now, this guy actually – he wrestled all the way into the 90s.
Oh, wow.
But number 10.
Deese.
He was, in my opinion, the connoisseur of the sleeper hold.
Oh, okay.
Now, many wrestlers use the sleeper hold. But this guy, to me, was the sleeper hold connoisseur. He was the guy. And probably got a whole lot of kids in trouble out at recess.
I hear you.
Trying to emulate my number 10 wrestler of all time. So we'll be right back right here at Kane 107.5 FM.
We at Hike Menville Grubs in Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubs in Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
It's spring cleaning time. Let Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment not only provide you with new sales, but also all of your service needs. Extend the life of your fitness equipment, including home gyms and cardio equipment. Give Frank a call at 337-316-1231 or visit FrankSpecialtyFitnessEquipment.com. Frank Burbank is a New Iberia native who has been servicing South Louisiana with top fitness equipment for nearly 40 years. That's Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, 337-316-1231.
Corner Tavern is the premier spot for live music. Thursday, it's DJ Delt. Friday, the Bo Young Band is back. Saturday, it's Full Circle. And Sunday afternoon, Kip Saunier. 19 TVs has you covered for sports, and No Bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Corner Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours now Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 5 to 8. And now on Thursdays, 3 to 6, with most drinks half priced at the Corner Tavern.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
United Fire and Safety is a locally owned oil field service company with over 20 years of experience in offshore safety, construction, and cleaning. UFS employs reliable, well-trained personnel. They're currently in need of qualified welders, fitters, superintendents, blasters, painters, and fire watch personnel. They offer competitive pay and benefits, including health insurance. For more information, call 337-376-6814. United Fire and Safety, taking pride in servicing the Gulf of Mexico.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-4858.
We're making it easy at Arsenault Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock.
Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenault Ford.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
All right. UL spring football game coming up later on, but LSU in front of a decent amount of fans. I know they didn't open it up, but to everyone. So I think the final score was 23-14. I don't care. I really don't care what the final score of a spring game is. The quarterbacks are interchangeable between both squads. Okay, so one will, and then sometimes it's the first team, sometimes it's the second team. It's really that there's never more of an irrelevant score than it is in a spring football game. Some coaches do it differently. It's truly offense against defense. So I'm pretty sure the way LSU did it. So let's say the one team is the first team offense and the second team defense, and the other team is the first team defense and the second team offense. Sometimes they'll, you know, they'll put this against that. First of all, quarterback situation. Now, if you look at pure numbers, it looks like Max Johnson had the better game. Pure numbers. He's 11 of 17 for 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brennan, 12 of 20, 116, 1 touchdown. Pretty comparable, but Johnson looks better. But according to what I read, Brennan went more against the first defense than Johnson did. So you have to take that into consideration. They really let Neusmeyer let it fly. So he chunks it 25 times, goes 15 of 25. Now, evidently, not for big chunks of yardage, only for 132 yards, but he does throw 3 picks, which that's a – and again, young guy. Now, this guy is not even technically a college freshman yet.
Yeah, he graduated early.
Yeah, he's supposed to – this guy's supposed to be walking technically next month with his high school class. His father, former, gosh, was it Idaho? That Doug Neusmeyer played at Idaho and played some in the NFL.
Yes.
And more recently, people remember him as offensive coordinator for Nick Saban on some of his great teams.
Right.
And then T.J. Finley, 10 of 18, 84 yards, but again, 2 interceptions. He does have a propensity for throwing the ball away.
Is he kind of being moved to the back now, you know, kind of?
I think so. I think
two,
so.
With the two, Brennan and
Well, there's Johnson. No doubt that Brennan – it's Brennan and Johnson – it's those two now moving forward. I don't think there's any question that Neusmeyer can be a great player, but because of his youth, that, of course, he's going to probably be in a battle with Finley for 3 or 4. Typically what they'll do, Finley will be listed as 3 to try to keep him around. You don't want to lose guys, but
– sure.
You can't blame Finley right now for transfer, hopping in the portal.
When you got
there's only one football to go around.
That's right.
Again, you may call in and say, oh, the commitment, blah, 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 all that stuff. Quarterback is different. Kicker is different. Punter is different. There's only one of them. There's only one. And if you see that you've got younger guys that are going to be ahead of you, if you've got multiple guys ahead of you, you cannot fault a kid from wanting to play. From wanting the ball in their hands. Look at Lindsey Scott, who's having a ball right now at Nicholls State. Just lighting it up. They lost to Southeastern the other day, but yeah. Scored 45 points, whatever.
Yeah, 52-45.
Well, you know, ask Lindsey Scott if he'd rather be warming the bench at LSU or
Missouri or wherever else he went.
Yeah.
Junior college.
Yeah. Or be at Nicholls just having a ball. Okay, so Don't give me that argument about quarterbacks. Now, I will say when that starting corner isn't starting and they jump in the transfer portal, that's a different argument. Multiple corners play. During the course of a game, a typical college team is going to play 3 to 5 corners. Trey Amos last year, as a first-time freshman for UL, was not a starter, but was toward the end of the year was getting anywhere from 15 to 20 snaps a night.
That's
is
right.
The fourth corner, not even the third. So Finley, I wouldn't blame the guy. Love to see him stay.
Sure.
Ponchatoula grad, you know, right there. I mean, Ponchatoula, Hammond, right. That's right. That's a stone's throw from Baton Rouge.
Yeah, Ponchatoula's maybe 40 miles from Baton
Rouge. Looked great against South Carolina.
He did.
But then we realized how bad South Carolina was at that point. They were just bad. Kind of unfair to judge him against Alabama. But when Max Johnson came out and just showed people what his elusiveness brought to the offense. And of course, we go back to Brennan. We've discussed this before. LSU did not lose those first two games to Mississippi State and Missouri because of Miles Brennan. They lost because of Bo Pelini's defense. They couldn't
stop anybody.
Yeah. That you know, I mean, when I'm sitting there watching a team that can't play zone defense and all Mississippi State doing is running mesh routes. They're just literally running two guys crossing over the middle of the field. It's one of the oldest routes in the book for a spread football team, which I'm telling you right now, in pure man coverage, it's almost impossible to cover. So you got to mix things up. And Bo Pelini wasn't able to mix things up.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and the rumors were flying that with the woman with the 11 kids, please come get them. The LSU defense can't stop them.
Oh, Lord. And everybody thought, oh, my goodness, Mississippi State's quarterback, he's a Heisman candidate. The guy wasn't even that good. I don't even know if he made it through the season as a starter.
I tend to agree with you. I don't know if he did or didn't.
LSU made this guy look like one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Oh, yeah. Threw for 600 yards?
I believe so.
Gee.
You know how many quarterbacks, old time, and didn't throw for 600 in a season?
The NFL record is 554 by Norm Van Brocklin.
Oh, Lord. I remember Vince Ferragamo, who was a guy that wasn't – I remember he threw for 5-plus when I was a kid. Watching that game, I want to say it was Monday Night Football.
It might have been, yeah.
So, turning to the running backs, Price goes 15 for 76. Boutte, 11 catches for 162.
Yeah, he's a star in the making.
Which, that's expected. The unexpected, or maybe unexpected, Kirkland, 10 catches for 166 and 2 touchdowns. If Boutte can have Kirkland on the other side, possibly drawing doubles, not allowing him to be doubled every snap, that's going to be huge for the Tigers.
Yeah, Boutte.
And, of course, nothing helps a passing game better than a run game.
That's right.
But Kayshon just going off against Ole Miss. Again, LSU's defense just stinking it up that night, but goes off and – along with Max Johnson at quarterback. So, I do see the Tigers as being significantly better.
They got to be.
But significantly better still, how good is that? Does that make them a top 10 team? Does it make them a top 20 team? Does it make them a top 25 team? I don't know.
Yeah, 5-5 last year with two big-time wins at the end of the year.
As my man Roseberry said, even though he's very optimistic, he's thinking, you know, number 15-ish in the country. People do get a free pass due to COVID. It was just so crazy relative to COVID, relative to the politics going on at the time. LSU's locker room is much attributed to possibly Coach O's lack of support for some of the things that were going on at that point relative maybe to other coaches. Again, O was doing O. They had to do themselves. Jamar Chase had to do Jamar Chase. Terrace Marshall had to do Terrace Marshall. Again, the guys that opted out before the season, I have a lot more respect for those guys than the guys that opted out in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
When I was coaching high school football, early in my career, anytime a kid quit, in my mind they were a quitter. But I evolved. I actually evolved, Turbo.
Come on.
And after about my 20th year, Benny Dronet, who I've had on the show.
Yes.
Talking one day to him, and I always soaked up anything I could from older coaches. And he said, when a kid, after the season's over, between seasons, chooses not to play, he is doing that, choosing not to play. He is not quitting. He said, now, you quit in the middle of the season, you're a quitter.
I understand that.
You're a quitter. If after the season's over, you choose not to play, it's different. Now, don't get me wrong. As a coach, you get disappointed. You're very disappointed in that because, especially in football, you're putting in so much time in the weight room and you're investing in a guy, especially if the guy can play for you. My opinion. Lastly, talking about LSU, it does seem that they are working very hard to return to the Joe Brady-esque offense. So much so that Pete's, who is the new offensive coordinator, he was the quarterback's coach of the Carolina Panthers where Joe Brady was the offensive coordinator. There's one problem that people better remember and realize. I don't care who they have as offensive coordinator. Joe Burrow is not the quarterback.
That's a big point.
And I'm sorry. You're going to catch lightning in a bottle only so often. The marriage of Joe Brady and Joe Burrow was lightning in a bottle. It was a perfect storm. Am I saying that LSU cannot win another national title? No, I'm not saying that. Of course, they have the resources. The TAF, everything LSU has going for it. Basically, if they want a guy in Louisiana, relative to the they're not fighting for players in Louisiana relative to other Louisiana universities. They're fighting Alabama and Clemson.
Across the country.
Correct. But to sit there and watch a Madden-esque video game type performance that we saw from LSU in 2019, folks, you may never see it again.
Yeah.
I'd say you will never see it
again. That's tough. 60 touchdown passes.
It was crazy.
70.
I said it before. When I'm talking to an NFL coach, so Derek Dooley, worked for him at Louisiana Tech. We're texting back and forth after the LSU-Oklahoma semifinal game. And this is the guy who's the son of Vince Dooley. Played at University of Virginia. All right. Went on, coached on the national championship team of Nick's team was three. It was in 2003.
LSU, yes.
Okay.
3-7.
Special teams coordinator of that team. Moved on to work at the Miami Dolphins, head coach of Louisiana Tech, head coach of Tennessee. Moved on, receivers coach for the Cowboys, offensive coordinator in Missouri now, receivers coach, New York Giants. And he says, quote, unquote, I've never seen anything like this, and we probably never will again. That's strong words.
He just made play after play after play.
And again.
After play.
Not only him. When you think about it, Justin Jefferson, who was thought of as the third best receiver on that team. Now, he probably stepped up and became the second best. Usurped Terrace Marshall as the number two guy. But overall, he was thought to be the third best receiver. Ends up being the runner-up for Rookie of the Year in the NFL. And everybody believes there's two guys on that team that were better than him. Ja'Marr Chase,
that's right,
who's going to go in the top 10, and Terrace Marshall, who's going to go a little bit later. Along with a tight end who never dropped a ball, and along with a running back who was a first-round draft pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Not to mention the offensive line that was one of the best in school's history. It was a perfect storm for LSU. I think it's best for most LSU fans to forget about it. Because if you try to compare any future offense to what LSU did in 2019, people were freaking out in the national championship game. When Clemson, I think, forced three incompletions in a row by Burrow, it's like, oh my God, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Because we were so spoiled as fans.
That's right.
And then when LSU finally realized, all right, they're taking away everything underneath, they're giving us one-on-one outside, and guess what? Their corners can't cover Ja'Marr Chase. And the second LSU said, all right, we're going to take the one-on-one because they can't cover Ja'Marr Chase, that's when it was over.
Yeah, pretty much.
They exploited what Clemson was giving.
Yeah, Clemson got close, what, in the beginning of the third quarter?
Yeah, it looked like it was over at half. And then, no.
Clemson made a little run.
Yep. And a huge interference penalty helped the Tigers. But again, just don't think it's going to happen again. It's not. All right. Got a little baseball to talk about. Coming back about LSU's weekend series.
Mendez.
UL only played one game due to the weather.
Are they playing today, though?
Yes, doubleheader. As far as I know, doubleheader today at South Al. And, of course, number 10 will be back beginning our top 10 Mid-South National Wrestling Alliance, Georgia Wrestling. Going to talk about the man who was the master of the sleeper hold when we come right back here at 107.5 FM.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
It's spring cleaning time. Let Frank's Specialty Fitness Equipment not only provide you with new sales, but also all of your service needs. Extend the life of your fitness equipment, including home gyms and cardio equipment. Give Frank a call at 337-316-1231 or visit frankspecialtyfitnessequipment.com. Frank Burbank is a New Iberia native who has been servicing South Louisiana with top fitness equipment for nearly 40 years. That's Frank's Specialty Fitness Equipment, 337-316-1231.
We at Hike Menville Grubbs in Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indest and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubbs in Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. Thursday, it's DJ Delt. Friday, the Bo Young Band is back. Saturday, it's Full Circle. And Sunday afternoon, Kip Saunier. 19 TVs has you covered for sports, and No Bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours now Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 5 to 8. And now on Thursdays, 3 to 6, with most drinks half price at the Quarter Tavern.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
If you're suffering from a sports-related injury, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our highly trained and licensed team will work with your physician to provide a customized treatment plan to help you recover as soon as possible. Iberia Sports and Rehab is proud to partner with our local middle and high schools to keep their athletes healthy and in the game. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia. Visit isrehab.com.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
Not to forget LSU's defense. According to sources, McLaughlin looked real good at the corner position. He was a highlight. And Jared Small, a former walk-on linebacker, who's on scholarship now, had 14 tackles.
Whoa.
So Small was what people tend to forget. Small was in the back seat of that car with Clyde Edwards-Helaire when a man was shot. I think he was killed. They were supposedly selling a some type of gaming device, whether it's PX3 or whatever.
Yeah.
It was one of those deals where it looked like a couple LSU players were going to jail, but actually they happened to be packing, okay, and they were robbed, and I think it was Small that may have been the shooter.
Ooh.
I'm not positive about that, but one of them was a shooter, but it was claimed self-defense. I mean, immediately.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back, how many passes they threw in the spring game between the four quarterbacks?
Oh, Lord. So let's say 20. That's 45, 55, 65, 62 plus 18. So they threw 80 passes.
So that's 40 each team.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, that's 80 passes. I always think of LSU. I think of them dominant running the football, yeah. 250, 60 yards.
And of course, you need to have a balance.
Sure.
But, you be who you are, and it definitely looks like they want to accentuate the passing game. Of course, you've got the receivers to do it.
Yeah.
And if you can complement it with a solid run game.
Under McClendon years ago, if they threw it 15 times, they were airing it out.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Different time, different place.
Oh, I agree.
But so you got Price that's definitely a good running back. Emery, they held him out. So you got two solid runners. I think they're really looking hard for a third. You rarely get through a season where runners don't get nicked up. The days of the 28 carry guy are pretty much gone.
Those high horses have long been going.
Just like the days of the 9-inning pitcher.
Yeah, that's right.
They're pretty much gone.
Yeah, it's so important to have depth.
Yep.
Good depth, not just because you have bodies.
Well, I think a lot of what led to that, too, as well with running backs is keeping them happy.
Oh, that's true.
Les Miles always just had an insane amount of talent at running back. And it was, okay, we got to keep these guys happy. Keep them in school here.
Yeah.
And it's that just fine line of who you're going to play, when you're going to play, how you're going to get them the ball. But one thing I will say with Les, if you fumble the ball, you will go into the bottom of the day. Les did not deal with fumbles because when you are a 75% run team, you better hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
Can't afford to fumble the ball.
And I'm curious to see how this transfer rule is going to really enact some of the bigger schools with losing players and taking players from the lower, the G5s, I'm curious to see how that's first year's
ripple effect. We talk about ripple effect.
How it's going to turn out. That'll be interesting.
So LSU baseball, the downward descent of Paul Menieri's team continues. Lost 2 of 3. Open up with a win over South Carolina, but then lose the last two. Now they are 4-11. In SEC play, 21-14 overall. Got Ole Miss coming up. I think midweek game maybe against ULM, if I'm correct. Cajuns lose the first of three to South Al, 4-1. I believe they're 20-13 now.
Something like that.
And they play a doubleheader against South Al today, which is going to be beautiful in Alabama. Where's South Alabama?
In Mobile.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
The Jaguars. Okay. I remember when Eddie Stanky coached him, and he played in the major leagues for many
Stanky?
Years.
Stanky?
Eddie Stanky.
His last name was Stanky.
Uh-huh. And he had the nickname.
Is his middle name Hiso?
No.
Eddie Hiso Stanky?
No. I don't know. But he was the one when Bobby Thompson hit the home run to beat the Brooklyn Dodgers back in the day. He was the one jumping all over Leo DeRocher. They call Leo was the lip, and Stanky, God, his nickname escapes me. But when he coached at South Alabama, when they brought about baseball, if you tried out for the team, he kept everybody. He had 50 and 60 kids on the team. And he traveled with them. He'd bring them to the games.
So. I just can't get over his last name.
Eddie Stanky. Yeah, Leo the Lip and Stanky had a nickname, and he escapes me.
His nickname was Stinky? Stinky Stanky?
No, Eddie Stanky, man. Got a heck of a player, too.
All right. Number 10.
Deese.
Hugh Andre is going to really hate this one.
Oh, man. Yeah, we had him enough last week. No offense, Hugh.
He's gonna hate this one. He'll hate a few more coming up. Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. Some people called him Jimmy Jam Garvin. Jimmy Garvin roamed Mid-South from the years of 78 to 83, right there in my wheelhouse of wrestling, about from my sixth grade year until my senior year of high school. His whole shtick, other than being a great wrestler and a champion, he didn't have a valet. He didn't have a manager. He had a valet. And it was always a beautiful woman whose name would be Precious. Now, Precious, and there were a couple of different Precious. Preciouses, I should say. Would always be there at ringside. And one of the little deals that they would do was that often in his title matches, Garvin would be pummeling his opponent. But then all of a sudden would look over to Precious at ringside and start flirting with her and posing and trying to be the object of her affection, which would lead to his opponent coming back from near defeat. Ended up, like I said, marrying one of his precious valets.
Oh.
Feuded with Ric Flair. They actually had a match in which if Ric Flair won, he had a date with Precious.
Oh, wow.
Not the most politically correct. I don't think the women's movement would have appreciated, the current women's movement would have appreciated wrestling's whole setup right there with, winner gets the chick. But again, this guy was the master of the sleeper hold. And so if you can go back there with me, Kabuki, Raymond Bernard, if you're out there, Andy Smith, some of you guys that are listening, you old Mid-South fans, and you can remember when you get a guy in a sleeper hold. And look, this hold does work. You get your bicep right up against the carotid artery of another human being. This is a move used by, probably, you can't use it. Cops can't use it anymore. Maybe in self-defense. But taught to the military, taught by different people. But if you cut off that carotid artery for several seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, person will pass out.
Really? Wow.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying that I tried it. I'm not saying that I didn't try it. But I'm just saying I have firsthand experience that it works. Okay? So you go back to Mid-South Wrestling, and whether it's Jimmy Garvin or whoever else, you had the guy in the sleeper hold. And the way that the referee would decide, because if the man was unconscious, that was just like being counted out to three. What they would do, they would raise the individual's hand, and if the hand would drop, that would be one count. They'd raise the individual's hand, arm, and if he dropped it, that was a two count. Now, often they would raise it a third time and the hand would drop, so match over. But the great move for the great wrestler. So, of course, if Jimmy Garvin's got Coco Samoa in the sleeper hold, after the third time, Coco Samoa's arm's going down and he's out. But let's say he's got Dusty Rhodes or Ric Flair. They're not going to go out that easy, right? So on the third drop, the opponent's hand would drop halfway, but then all of a sudden, his hand would start shaking and slowly rising, saying, "I am not out yet." One of the great, just iconic moves of anyone that's been put in the sleeper hold. Raymond Bernard just sent me, and actually, Raymond, I have this picture as well that I'm going to be posting on Facebook. He sent me a great picture of gorgeous Jimmy Jam Garvin along with his precious at his side. Just Hello. Great, great stuff. Hello. Great stuff. So, Jimmy Garvin actually ended up being a pilot.
A pilot,
like a
national airline, but
national airline,
private pilot.
Yes, private pilot.
All right.
Still alive today.
Oh wow!
Just can't tell you just how often, whether it was in the swimming pool, the playground at Catholic High, the golf course, number 9 fairway. How many people we attempted to put in the sleeper hold?
Acadian ambulance wasn't working then.
Just great. You know, you got the figure four. You got the sleeper hold. You couldn't really emulate the Brain Buster or the DDT. The pile driver, you could, if you made sure the guy's head wasn't too far, you know, near the surface. For some of you people, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you
a question.
You could suplex somebody into the swimming pool, though.
Of your 40, top 40 that you've done over the last 3 or 4 weeks, 6 weeks, how many of these guys wrestled in Lafayette and how many of them in Georgia? If you had to, what kind of percentage?
I would say that 75% wrestled at least at one time in Lafayette.
Okay. All right.
Now some of them, I went through that. You know, I can remember there's a guy that comes to mind, Tommy Wildfire Rich. I think he was strictly a Georgia guy.
All right.
But I will say this. I am looking at my top 10, and every one of these guys at one time wrestled Mid-South.
Okay.
Every single one of them.
The Mid-South Coliseum, yeah.
Every one of them. As a matter of fact, as I'm looking, my top 15 to 20, just about every one of them, did wrestle at least at one time in the Lafayette area.
You're kind of giving some of it away now.
Oh, no doubt. And okay. Again, so it goes to show you, if you're waiting for The Rock, if you're waiting for Stone Cold, if you're waiting, Hugh, for Triple H, it ain't going to happen. Great guys. Hulk Hogan. All great guys. But they just... They're not in my wheelhouse, man.
Yeah, we got Nuff tomorrow, huh?
Yep.
Not enough, but Nuff.
Nerf. Like, is it a Nerf football?
Yeah, Nuff. Death Rock.
So, on behalf of Iberia Sports and Rehab / Louisiana Athletic Care, going to have Chad Arsenault on here soon, talk a little more. I just love having Chad on as kind of a co-host, just like I have with my main man, Eric Hike. Of Hike, Menville, Grubbs, and Dalbor. Schwing Insurance, Blazing Specialties, Additive Solutions, anything you need relative to cleanliness. You know they say cleanliness is next to godliness.
My grandmother used to say that all the time. All the time.
My mother never pulled that one out.
Oh, no. Granny did that all the time.
But if you need something cleaned up, all right, especially relative to COVID, you need a shield, you need the glass, partitions, whatever you need, call Jace. Cane Road Golf and Turf Club, I'm telling you, after this rain.
Oh, it's going to play nice.
And just the grass is going to be booming out there. It's going to be green, green, green. Quarter Tavern, Arsenault Ford, $7,000 off of Ford Fusion the rest of this month, off MSRP. Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment. Home Run King, Frank Burbank. Action Specialties, L.A. Classic Roofing, the official roofing contractor of Bayou Sports. KK's Cafe, United Fire and Safety, Gritic Electrical and General Services. We wish you all the best. Remember, if you are looking to advertise your business, we will be starting a second hour. My preliminary name is Bayou Buffet.
Bayou Buffet.
I'm not sold on it yet, but
a smorgasbord?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I thought everybody was just call it the Brent Indes Show. I don't know.
Need some action.
Yeah. So, and you know what? Just because you name something, you can change their name. People change their name all the time.
Yeah, movie stars do.
Absolutely. So we can go with it. See if it sticks. I think Bayou Sports stuck very well, thanks to Paul Schecksnyder. He gave us that name. So, but if you're looking to advertise, just give me a holler. I think I've got four folks locked up already just off of a Facebook post that are interested in the new show that will be starting on May 1st.
The Buffet of the Bayou.
Yeah, the Buffet of the Bayou. So let me know. We'd love to have you on board. I really feel that we're helping all of our businesses here grow their business. So with that being said, enjoy this gorgeous Monday, this well-deserved gorgeous Monday, and we'll be right back with Jeff Boggs here at 107.5 FM. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298 CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tash.